Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a fun time for you today. Not only fun, but if you've had that itch about really, I know I need to do something with my house. I'm bored with what's going on in the bedroom. My kitchen just needs to be brightened up. Hey, we all know what happens when the sun comes out. Summer's here. The windows are open, and we are letting all kinds of fresh air in, and there's all this bright sunlight, and we go, oh, my goodness, I need to do something. Well, my guest, Marcia Smart, has a fabulous book, and what we're going to be talking about is how you can decorate by instinct. Yes, Decorating by Instinct is the title of her book, 5 Easy Steps for Unleashing Your Inner Decorator. Marcia, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much for having me as a guest.
Well, I'll tell you what. Decorating is always something that just about every woman I ever know of would love to talk about because they can always find a way to improve their environment. Now, you have been involved with this for a long time. You have been on HGTV with a program, Decorating Sense. You have acted as a spokesperson for Linens and Things, and you just have been involved in professional interior redesign, which is interesting, and you do workshops and training seminars throughout the country. Now, how did you know that this was what you wanted to do as a professional?
Well, decorating was always my hobby, and I always loved it, and I really did want to go to design school at some point, but my husband's job and his career always came first, and then came children, and there was never enough time or money to go to design school, and I just was a stay-at-home mom and then went to work in the party business, which was also a very creative outlet, but all that time I had that nagging for decorating and was still keeping my hand in it by taking classes and helping friends and my own home, and I know a lot of us do that. And one day I read about this exciting concept called interior redesign, where you decorate people's homes using their existing items. And that just really resonated with me because I wanted to see how I could help people do this without spending tons of money. And that's how I got involved in it, and I just took a training program myself, and here I am all these years later now teaching others how to do it, and it's just been great.
Now, you've been involved with this for how long?
About 10 years.
About 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you said about using what people already have. I think that so many times people start to get stressed. They'll look at what's on television, maybe, or watch, and there's so many different design shows on
there
TV.
There are.
And some of them, I think, they really need to think about what they're doing because I just don't, I look at it and I go, my goodness, how could anybody live with that? But all of us have our own taste.
It's showbiz, Donna, showbiz.
That's right, showbiz. And you can't have something that looks, you know, similar. I mean, it's just, what do you want to living with? What are you wanting to live with? But I really like the idea of using what you've already got because many times, people will have things put away that maybe has been something that belonged in the family, or there might even be artwork they've never had framed, and they just get busy with living life, and they go, gee, you know, I've got this stuff, and I just don't know what to do with it. Can you help someone that does that?
Exactly, and that's a big part of what redesigners do is what we like to call shopping the house instead of the stores, and we help people unearth those hidden treasures that they've collected over the years and may have forgotten about or think are not really up to snuff anymore. But everybody has things in their home that mean something to them, and they've picked personally, or as you mentioned, they've inherited, and they just don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to blend it cohesively and showcase their collections in a designerly fashion. And that is exactly what redesign is all about. We can do that.
And that is what's going to be so much fun to talk about today. Now, you have in here SMART, a five-step process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us what SMART is, S-M-A-R-T. Give us the breakdown on what that means.
Okay. Well, of course, since SMART is my last name, I had to give five SMART steps to decorating your home. But they're all very, very practical and easy to follow steps to complete your project and get yourself back on track with what you need to do in your home. And first of all, you should start by identifying your style. Now, this is pretty common. When I go into homes, most people say, well, what's my style? They want to know their style. And interestingly, you should know your style because the most important thing about knowing your style is it keeps you purchase-focused and you avoid all that impulse buying where we go to the store and go, oh, that's really cute, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it or where I'm going to put it, but I have to have it.
Oh, yuck, I've been there, and I've recognized times when I come home and I go, what in the world possessed me? I don't
what
need this zebra with purple eyes. It
that's
just
right.
doesn't work.
And where am I going to put it? And so when you have a very clear definition of your style and your style direction, this helps you avoid that impulse buying because you are very focused and directed in your purchases. So if nothing else, that is the most important thing about identifying your style is it, and I think the men would like this part, is that it helps you avoid those impulse purchases. So once you have identified your style, then you need to make a list of your challenges. Now, what's important here is that you really should make a separate list for every single room. And otherwise, the whole project right from the get-go can get extremely overwhelming and confusing when you just have this running list of all these things that need to be done throughout the home. But if you stay focused and just make a list of the challenges in any given room, that's going to help you feel not so overwhelmed from the beginning. And once you have your list, you need to determine what isn't working in that room, and then, really important, you need to determine why it isn't working. Because this is going to help you prioritize your list of which challenges you're going to tackle immediately and then maybe somewhere down the road and then a long time down the road. So you need to make that list and you need to prioritize that list. Okay?
All right. And then we've got to do a plan.
And then we've got to do a plan and activate it. And one of the fun things is very, very helpful, and it kind of sounds like a kindergarten exercise, but I guarantee if nothing else will solidify your design style, this will do it. We all have these hordes of magazines, decorating magazines, mm-hmm. stacked up somewhere in our home. And you need to go through these magazines and start clipping out pictures of things that you are attracted to in the photo. And this could really be anything, Donna. It could be a piece of furniture. It could be a color on a wall. It could be an upholstery, a lamp, just the ambiance or the feeling of the room in that photograph. And you need to cut that out. That's part one. And then part two is you need to paste it in a book, and you need to write what it is that attracted you to that photo. And then as you're going through more and more and more, you're going to see a very clear style emerge, and you're going to have a real handle on what that style was if you weren't sure from the very beginning. Then, the biggest heartache of all, you need to measure before you buy one new thing, and this is part of activating that plan. If you think you need to make a purchase, you need to measure and make sure that that purchase will fit in that space. And then the last part of activating your plan is to research. Conduct research and look for various resources before you buy one single thing. So are you getting sort of a pattern here? It's all about saving money.
Yes, and then, well, it's more than that. You don't want to waste your time with things that really aren't going to be appropriate. So this gives you a little bit more of an organizational plan. Then you want to rearrange, and then you want to be able to blend it all together.
Exactly.
So you talk also about the sensory style experience. And for those of you that have just tuned into the show, we're talking with Marcia Smart, her book, Decorating by Instinct. And she said, if you're busy like me, or actually a friend of hers, Linda Dixon, said, if you're busy like me, the SMART five-step process really works. I finished my project in my time and in my style. But more than anything else, I had a lot of fun doing it. Now, let's talk a little bit about the styles.
Okay.
We have, my goodness, you have here listed the top 10. And let's just run through them real quickly.
Well, this was... It was kind of a toughie to narrow it down to 10 because, you know, the list of styles are endless. But I've picked the top 10 that I see most frequently over and over again in people's homes, or a representation of these top 10 styles. And here they are. Number one, American country, French country, Tuscan, traditional, modern or contemporary, not to be confused, British colonial, shabby chic, neoclassic, rustic, and the ever-popular eclectic.
That's what I have. I mean, that's what I love. That's something my husband and I, we have, you might say, sort of different tastes regarding certain items, but when we go out shopping, we always look for those things that we're both going to enjoy, and that's how we shop, so that when we get what we get, we just go, wow, this is really, really terrific. We can both enjoy this. And it's so pleasurable to know that you both can enjoy the same thing.
And eclectic is definitely one of the most popular stylings, and I think what you've mentioned is one of the reasons is it allows people more freedom with their purchases. However, the trick of eclectic styling is that it's one of the most difficult styles to pull off cohesively because you're not really blending furniture finishes so much as blending eras of furnishings. And that's why it gets a little bit trickier for people. In my book, I mentioned eclectic is not early college dorm here.
Correct.
Know? It's not a mishmash and a hodgepodge. It's very deliberate. I like to call it the collected look because I think that's what we do. We've collected things over time. We've collected things that we may have inherited. Or like you just mentioned, where the husband and wife are going together and they want to pick pieces that resonate with both of them and maybe they have a little bit different styling. So the eclectic works really well when blended correctly.
Now, I love the portrayal of yourself as M. Smart, decorating detective. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about one of your case studies that you have. And you've got them scattered throughout your book. And I love your cartoon of yourself on the side there. I think that's so cool with your decorating briefcase and your magnifying glass. You had a case in here called The Case of the Budget Scrabble.
Uh-huh.
And that's with Rita. Tell us what happened with Rita and how you were able to resolve that.
Rita Rhyme.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of a fun example of somebody that wants to do all of these things not on a budget. And she rambles through this list of all the things that she thinks is wrong, and then she says to M. Smart Detective, now, here's what I think's all wrong, and I heard you can fix it really great, but I don't have a lot of money, so what can you do? And M. Smart goes through and rolls up her sleeves and says, well, some of the things you thought were wrong, I would totally agree, and other things I think we can just do a quick fix on them, or they're not really wrong if we do something else and we solve it in this way. And maybe using a paint color or rearranging or, you know, the tile's fine, you just need a different paint color. So it's a perfect example of when I go into homes and sometimes people think they need to do something major. Like Rita thought she had to take out all the tile on her floor.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, if she just would have picked a different color, paint color for the wall, that would have made the tile perhaps not jump out so much or seem so dated because the color in the case of the Scrabble was a very neutral color. Rita was just tired of looking at it.
That's a very good point. In fact, I can think of someone who bought a home. They just fell in love with it. Circa 1950s style, a particular blue kind of a tile that had been put in, blue-green color. and they really liked the feel of the house. But it was driving them crazy. Now, what I was looking at in their home was their countertops, because the countertops had been all tiled, and this was this color that when the previous owners had redone the kitchen, they had used color tones that made the tile look like something that should be in a museum somewhere. It should not even be in a house. So just changing the color like that, or doing something to make it so that the eye is not offended. I think lots of times it's the contrast that you've just mentioned. You walk into certain environments, you'll say, wow, everything just flows. It just seems to fit. It's just such a pleasure to walk into this environment. It's warm. It's cozy. And then you have these others, like you mentioned, all they have to do is use a can of paint and maybe put up some pictures or do something like that to pull in these tones so they're not so garish. Maybe that's the right word to use.
Well, I know that people have heard this over and over again, that paint gives you the most bang for the buck, but it really is true. And just like fashion trends, color trends change as well, because, well, let's be honest here, the paint companies have to make money too, and so do the designers. So they're constantly bringing in new things every season and new colors. And what's very popular now is this whole retro. I was tickled that you referred back to the 50s, because this whole retro feeling is very, very popular now, and people going back to that 50s styling, but maybe with a different use of color now, a little more updated. Remember, the blues and the pinks and those wild colors were back in the 50s, and now they're using the chocolate brown with a very similar blue, but not exactly the same. It has to be a little bit different. So It's a great way for people who can't afford to just get rid of everything. How can they update what they currently have without breaking the bank? And paint is definitely one of the ways to do that.
And I think, especially for young families, well, actually for anybody, I mean, we're all interested in saving money, but I think with a younger family, so many times they go, gee whiz, we're on such a tight budget, what can we do? And it's that magic of paint.
It is.
The magic of imagination, and you've got a lot of options to work with, and you can have a perfectly charming, wonderfully attractive environment, and you don't have to spend $10,000 a room.
That's right.
Is not a requirement.
You are right, Donna.
You make a wonderful point about something that I think a lot of people are not aware of. You've got a number of good points in your book, The Decorating by Instinct, but it's please, please, please don't use trophies and framed certificates and team sports pictures as key art and accessory pieces in your home. Hey, guys, now there's a lot of gals out there that win a lot of trophies. There might be a place for it, but the theme of your home, whatever it is that you want in design, it should flow.
What do they do
with these old trophies and things like this? Because they're very proud of them.
Well, you bet you. We're all proud of our trophies. We're proud of our children's trophies. But they really shouldn't be the main ornamentation in a room. Let's put them where they make some sense. And that is somewhere like an office. A home office is an excellent place to distribute and display your trophies. And as I mentioned in my book, you might even be able to pull a whole theme around those trophies, if they're sports trophies or golf trophies or fishing trophies or sailing trophies or whatever they are. You might be able to pull a whole theme around those trophies in your office. And in a children's room, what's really a great thing to do is to put a small display shelf running around the top of the room. And as they get more trophies, you just add them and keep adding them. But they're up in the air, and they almost serve as a balance, as it were, if there happens to be a window on that wall. That's a great wall to start with from the beginning, and just put a shelf right above the window and take it across the whole wall and put the trophies up there, and the kids get to be surrounded by all their accomplishments, which is really great.
I want to share a tip that a friend of mine gave me years ago along these same lines. She is an avid, avid book collector. She has a passion for books that's equal to mine, and I think she might extend her collection maybe about 500 more than what I've got.
Wow.
Anyway, if any of you have a problem, if you're in a smaller place, and this is something that Dana shared with me, and I thought it was absolutely marvelous. She took the very theme of shelving, like you talked about, for the trophies, and she did it for books. And she went and put them all up above, and so she has many of them are collectible books. And they're quite special, and they've got, you know, they've been signed and all of this. But she has them up above where she said, I had them in boxes for years. And she said, it was ridiculous. I wanted to have them out. So her husband went and put them in more than one room. And you can walk through her house, and trust me, you will see it, especially up on the second floor, all the shelf. And it's not that noticeable, but it adds a warmth that I never thought would have been possible with all of this wonderful color with the books that she has up on the shelves that go around. She says, it's the only place I had any room.
Well, you make two excellent points there about books, Donna, and you caught it probably by instinct. Number one is the color of books. Now, something that people don't think to do when they're decorating with their books is to take off the dust jackets. Now, don't throw them out because they give the book value, but typically the book beneath the jacket is an entirely different color.
Yes.
And they're beautiful, and they probably have gold printing or silver or something. They're absolutely gorgeous. That's number one. So think about taking the book jackets off, saving them, and then decorating with your books. And number two, books are one of the most inexpensive and utilitarian decorating accessories you can possibly have. I go to Salvation Army Goodwills and buy up some of their gorgeous, luscious books. Mm-hmm. For decorating my home, clients' homes, they're very inexpensive, and they're just beautiful. And you are correct. They just look warm and homey and very inexpensive decorating accessory.
It's fabulous. Well, I know that we're almost out of time, Marcia, and I want to mention your book, Decorating by Instinct. There's so many tips that she has in here, and if you're getting that itch, and you're saying, I've got to do something. Well, Marcia's book is handy, it's easy, it's filled with wonderful stories about people that she's interviewed with and interacted with and worked with. And you can have this as something that can give you that oomph that you need. And maybe share it with some of your friends. Maybe you could just have a good brainstorming party and just have a blast. Maybe help each other out, fix up your place.
That's a wonderful idea.
A limited budget. Why not?
See how creative you can get.
Yes, it's fun.
It is fun.
Now, Marcia, what is your website that people can go to find out about more good things to learn about decorating?
It is smartredesign.com.
Smartredesign.com. And if this is something you've always been interested in, you might want to check out her website, too, as to how she became qualified as this redesign specialist. So she's got a lot of good information there. Marcia Smart has been my guest. Decorating by Instinct is the name of her book. It's 5 Easy Steps for Unleashing Your Inner Decorator. What a great time of the year to work with this. Marcia, in finishing up our interview today, what comment would you like to leave my audience with?
Well, my comment would be, don't be afraid. Decorating is not rocket science. Decorating should be fun. So go out, give it a go, and have a ball. That's the most important part, is have fun, because it's all about you.
Now, give your website one more time.
SmartRedesign.com.
Okay, and then I also had another one here for you, Decorating by Instinct.
That will work as well. If you can only remember the book title, good to go. Just plug in decoratingbyinstinct.com, and that'll work as well.
Wonderful. Two websites there, smartredesign.com, decoratingbyinstinct.com. My guest, Marcia Smart, that's her book, Decorating by Instinct.
Thank you so much,
Donna. It's a wonderful thing. You're welcome, Marcia. It's been a delight having you as a guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll have more good things to share with you. Again, Marcia Smart has been my guest. Her book, Decorating by Instinct, website smartredesign.com, and decorating by instinct.com. Marcia, thank you again for being my guest. We're going to take
thank
a
you.
Break. Don't you go away now, because we're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're into the second portion of our programming, which means our telephone lines are open, and you can call in and chat with me. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you are a first-time listener, I am so delighted to have you join our listening family. We have so many wonderful guests, and it's my pleasure to be able to interact with you. So when you call in, if you've not done it before, all I need is your first name or your initial. That's it. And then I'm happy to give you my mental impressions, and after that, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. So give me a call if you like. I do want to bring up the fact that I'm going to be appearing at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Yes, you're going to be hearing about this every day until the end of the fair. I'll tell you why. This is one of the most wonderful activities that I have ever participated in, and every year it is just an absolute delight to make the announcement of being a part of this. Why? Because this is an event that's oriented towards the whole family. It is magical because you're stepping back in the time. You can play act any character you want, walk through the castle gates of this wonderful event. It's the first 3 weekends in August. That's August 4th and 5th, 11th and 12th, 18th and 19th. The hours for this fabulous event are from 10 in the morning until 6 in the evening. And when you walk through those gates, you feel like you have stepped back into time. And you know what? If you have a costume, you can wear it. Also, you can rent a costume if you want. And I'm going to be sharing some more information with you. And it's just so exciting. So know that this is going to be at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gable Harbor,
Washington. I'm trying to read it out for me.
And you can go to the website, Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and get all the information that you need about it. We've got a caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from? Hello?
Yes, Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, dear, give me your first name or initial.
Andrita.
Andrita, when I'm looking at you, there is a part of your life you need to release. For some reason, I feel like you are carrying a weight around your heart, mm-hmm. around your spirit, that is related to the past. This makes me a little sad because mm-hmm. I feel as if the past is not relinquished, you're going to be repeating certain situations that should not be repeated. Also, though you're in a financial crunch, this financial crunch does not have to last very long.
Mm-hmm.
If you are prudent and you are disciplined, and you're going to find yourself being in that flexibility of economic security that mm-hmm. you so very much want in your life within, I think, the number two. Now, I don't know if it's 2 months or 2 years, or it could be by February of next year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important for you to keep your focus and maintain your discipline
mm-hmm.
because you really will have everything that you need and then some.
Mm-hmm.
What question would you have for me today?
Okay, well, I've been having a lot of dreams. I was wondering if I'd ever be able to understand all my dreams because it's like today I had like so many dreams. When I went to sleep, I had so many dreams when I went to sleep, and I was wondering if I would be able to understand my dreams.
Mommy.
Oh, yes. Oh,
Mommy.
Yes, you can.
Mommy.
The challenge with dreams
Mommy.
Is that frequently it's in symbolic language.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my experience,
Mommy.
And dreams are the very thing that's catapulted me into the development of my own intuitive skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it is good to learn about the interpretation of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's mind is a language unto itself. And so, should you want to expand an understanding of your dreams, the
mm-hmm.
first step always is to write them down. The more detail you can remember, the better.
Yeah, I've been writing them down since, I'm trying not to get lazy, because sometimes I get a little, because sometimes they sap my energy, so.
Sure.
I get a little lazy, but I've been trying to write them down, and I find some days I have so many dreams. And they'd be so deep, you know.
Well, what you have done then by making note of them is very good because that is bringing the conscious mind into
mm-hmm.
a position of willingness to accept
Mommy.
Them. The second thing is to be able to work with it. If you have a friend, perhaps, and say,
mm-hmm.
I'm having these dreams. What do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share with you, my first experience with dream interpretation
mm-hmm.
was with a mentor. And this mentor, Gloria,
mm-hmm.
I gave her my dream because I didn't have a clue as to what to do with it. And
mm-hmm.
for me, it was like a nightmare. And
mm-hmm.
she proceeded to take it apart, section by section. She
mm-hmm.
broke it down. And I realized that she was doing an interpretation of the symbology. And as I became more expert, and as I got to know her, and she mentored me in so many ways, there were a couple of things that I did. One, I did the writing down of the dreams, just like you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I read as many books on dream interpretation as I could,
mm-hmm.
because that sort of helped me. Then three, I had to figure out my own mind language.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that meant a lot to me. You know, a black horse for some people could mean death. For
mm-hmm.
someone else, it means a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone else, it means freedom. You see my point?
Yeah.
You have to come from that inside part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I have found also in talking with different people from different cultural backgrounds from
mm-hmm.
around the world that often their subconscious works with symbology from that cultural background.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a journey of exploration, and I totally understand the exhaustion side, because
mm-hmm.
when you're writing these dreams down, you're in that constant interruption of your sleep, and that is exhausting. Can you give me an example of one of your dreams that you had just recently?
Okay, like today, I had a dream where I was looking at my daughter when she was little, and she had a twin,
mm-hmm.
and one twin was sitting on the couch next to me, sleeping in one room, and the other twin was sitting in the other room, was in the other room on the couch, laying down, asleep. And I was thinking the twin that was next to me should also be asleep, but that one was wide awake, you know, sitting next to me. I'm like, okay, you know. And I notice I keep having dreams about twins all the time. Like sometimes they'll be man or a woman, or they'll be different sizes in a dream, one like a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep having dreams about twins.
All right. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to have twins.
Mm-hmm.
What it is doing, it is representing different perspectives to you. And let's take the dream And this is how I see it. And so maybe it can be a stimulus for you. What this is telling you is that there's more than one face to things. And if the theme of twins as adults, you know, male, female, however it is being portrayed, mm-hmm. it is showing a duality. And the fact that the little girl, your little girl, the one you were dreaming about, in one room, one was asleep, you know, the representation of her was asleep. In the other room, the other child's wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
So what that is telling you is that this is a representation of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The child is being used as a symbology by your mind, by your higher self, because it's what's going to reach you. So a part of you is sleeping. Another part of you is very much awake.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, if one's asleep, then the other one should be asleep too. No. What this is, and just for this one little dream, mm-hmm. it doesn't speak of everything. But mm-hmm. what it is telling me is that you are trying to control too much. You're trying to say, well, if one's asleep, the other one should be asleep also. If they're mm-hmm. twins, they should follow the same routing. No. So what it means is you must adapt. And you must make it okay that a part of yourself may not be able to be awake to certain things the way that you would like it to be. But mm-hmm. another part of yourself is.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to make it okay that life sometimes puts you in a positioning of being able to be alert, be aware, and totally cognizant of everything that's around you, but there's another part of you that may not be awake to it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that making a little bit of sense to you?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking about, the part of me being asleep and one side being awake. I was thinking about that, actually. I was like, when I was writing it down, I was like trying to tap into that feeling about it, you know.
And understand that that's not a bad thing. For example, let's say you were job hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out and you're looking for a job, and by golly, you're just doing everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
You may be totally unaware of an opportunity that could be available to you. Well, if you stayed asleep in the process and never went out and put out a resume
mm-hmm.
or didn't continue to pursue, you would never be able to be alert and aware to that opportunity.
Hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do.
So there is an action that has to be put out for a result to evolve, but you may not be able to recognize the universe does some interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
It brings things to us many times that in our wildest dreams we never would have imagined.
So when you dream, do you have sometimes a lot of dreams?
Oh, yes.
That's why like, they seem like they run into each other, but that's why I write. When I write, I'm like, I write different, you know, different parts. Like, I'll number them like dream one, dream two, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me make a suggestion to you, because I know when you're sleep-deprived, it mm-hmm. is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
So what you might want to do is, before you go to sleep at night, make mm-hmm. a suggestion to your subconscious that you want dreams, but you want them so that you have a night of deep sleep. Because I've been through that routing, and I know what it's like to wake up every hour on the hour, and you're writing all these dreams down, and the alarm goes off at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. You've got to get up, get ready, go to work, and you're going, my goodness, I can barely move.
Yes. Yes, I want to thank you, Donna.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I appreciate you listening to the show and being able to call in.
I'm glad to hear for it. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't have all the answers. I never claim to know it all, but I can share with you what I have experienced and where, you know, where my life has taken me and the relative, you know, relationship to those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think every little bit helps. Every experience I feel is helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as my makeup is concerned, everything is helpful to me.
Well,
you know,
that's a good attitude to have. But just be patient with yourself, hon, and be willing to explore. Use your library. They've got a wonderful array of books on dreaming.
Mm.
Go to your library.
That's what I need to do, too. Because I had some dream books. I did have some dream book here, a few.
But remember, you're learning the language of your own mind.
I know.
And that's the difference. Use them as guides. But remember, your mind has its own unique, particular patterning. Your higher self will use whatever is going to be most effective for you. Dear, I've got to go on break.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks so much for calling in today, and you have a fabulous day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Don't you go away now. We're going to come right back with more good things.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. By the way, call-in number is 877-876-5227. And also Canadians, 888-815-9756. And then 530-876-3222 for anyone else who would like to call in. You know, days ago, I promised you that I was going to give you some recipes on some mixes, some seasoning mixes. Now, the reason I wanted to share these with you is because they're low sodium. And so many people are very concerned. They don't want to have too much salt. They want the flavor, but they don't want to add the salt. So I came across these mixes, and I thought, this is really neat. Because if you're like me, flavor makes all the difference in the world. Now, these are three different recipes from one woman, excuse me. And she's worked with this for a long time. And if there's an Italian seasoning mix, a taco seasoning mix, and also an onion soup mix. Yes, and that onion soup mix, low sodium, is great to have roasted potatoes. Yes, good things. Okay, the Italian seasoning mix, let me just give it to you quickly. And this is something you just mix it, and it makes 13 1-tablespoon servings. But if you're like me, you'll sprinkle it, you'll let it marinate on your meat, or you'll do something with it, maybe add it to your vegetables, whatever you like. But this you could have handy, and it's made with dried herbs. So here goes. For the Italian seasoning mix, all you're going to need is 6 teaspoons of marjoram, 6 teaspoons of thyme, 6 teaspoons of rosemary, 6 teaspoons of savory ground, 3 teaspoons of dry sage ground, 6 teaspoons of oregano leaves, 6 teaspoons of basil leaves. Now let me repeat that. This is for the Italian seasoning mix. 6 teaspoons of marjoram, 6 teaspoons of thyme, 6 teaspoons of rosemary, 6 teaspoons of savory ground, 3 teaspoons of dry sage ground, 6 teaspoons of oregano leaves, 6 teaspoons of basil leaves. Now, I'd recommend if you're going to keep it, if you're going to make this up, blend it all together and then keep it in a glass jar. The reason I recommend glass rather than plastic is that dependent on the plastic container, the seasonings may lose their aromatic, substance. So you want to be sure that you keep it in glass if possible. Now, taco seasoning. This is how easy this one is. And it is 6 teaspoons of chili powder, 5 teaspoons of paprika, 4.5 teaspoons of cumin, 3 teaspoons of onion powder, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 2/3 teaspoon of dry cornstarch. Now, you just mix them all together. And let me give that again. 6 teaspoons of chili powder, 5 teaspoons of paprika, 4.5 teaspoons of cumin seed, and 3 teaspoons of onion powder, a teaspoon of garlic powder, and then 2/3 a tablespoon. I think I said a teaspoon before. 2/3 a tablespoon of dry cornstarch. Now, 1/3. This is the equivalent of 3 packages of a taco mix like you might get at the store. So if you wanted to break it up into 3 portions, you can do that. But just know you could, again, keep it into a glass jar. Or if you have those seal meal things, that's really good because it takes all the oxygen out so the herbs do not lose their value. Now, the last one is the onion soup mix, and this is really nice. You need 2 2/3 tablespoon of dried onion. It can be minced, flaked, or chopped. 2 2/3 tablespoons of dried onion. 4 teaspoons of beef instant bouillon powder. 4 teaspoons of beef instant bouillon powder. If you're not concerned about the salt, get the salt. And if you don't want the salt, get it when it doesn't have the salt in it. 1 teaspoon of onion powder and 1/4 teaspoon of celery seed. So let me repeat that. 2 2/3 tablespoon of dried onion, 4 teaspoons of instant beef bouillon powder, 1 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/4 teaspoon of celery seed. Mix it up. You got it. And if you want to have roasted potatoes, you can use your white potato, and what I think is neat is you cut them. You cut your potatoes, and they're raw. You're going to bake them in a hot oven at about 400 degrees for about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on the heat in your oven. But you take your potatoes, and you cut them. And I like the big fat fries. So you cut them however you want, and then you pat them dry with a towel, and then put them into a bag with your onion seasoning mix. And you also want to have your potatoes. Let me digress for a minute because I missed an important ingredient. About 1/4 cup of oil. You want to put the oil on the potatoes first. And you can do this in a bowl or if you have a plastic bag. To me, that's so much easier. Get a gigantic gallon bag. Put your potatoes in there and just about 2 pounds worth. And then put your seasonings in. Once the oil has covered the potatoes, then put your seasoning in. And just shake it all up so the potatoes are covered. Put them in a roasting pan and put them in that hot oven for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Yum. Good potato flavor. It is something that kids will even like. It is delicious. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you quickly. It is really fun to have things like that handy. Mix them up. It makes it feel like you've done something very special to give that homemade flavor. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Or Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. I was sent a story by Thomas, and I wanted to share it, and it's about family. And I really liked this. To me, this was just so sweet. It said, I ran into a stranger as he passed by, and, oh, excuse me, please, was my reply. He said, please excuse me, too. I wasn't watching for you. We were very polite, the stranger and I. We went on our way, and we said goodbye. But at home, a different story is told, how we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my son stood beside me very still. When I turned, I nearly knocked him down. Move out of the way, I said with a frown. He walked away, his little heart broken. I didn't realize how harshly I'd spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, while dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you use, but the family you love, you seem to abuse. Go and look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers he brought for you. He picked them himself, pink, yellow, and blue. He stood very quietly, not to spoil the surprise. You never saw the tears that filled his little eyes. By this time I felt very small, and now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by his bed. "Wake up, little one, wake up," I said. "Are these the flowers you picked for me?" He smiled. "I found them out by the tree. I picked them because they're pretty like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue." I said, "Son, I'm very sorry for the way I acted today. I shouldn't have yelled at you that way." He said, "Oh, Mom, that's okay. I love you anyway." I said, "Son, I love you too, and I do like the flowers, especially the blue." "Family, are you aware that if we died tomorrow, the company that we're working for could easily replace us in a matter of days? But the family we left behind will feel the loss for the rest of their lives. And come to think of it, we pour ourselves more into work than into our own family, an unwise investment indeed, don't you think? So, what is behind the story? Do you know what the word family means? F-A-M-I-L-Y. F stands for father, A stands for Ann, M stands for mother, I stands for I, L stands for love, and Y stands for you. Father and mother, I love you. That's family. Thomas, I thought that was beautiful, and I want to thank you so very much for sharing that with me. Also, I wanted to remind you about the Renaissance Fantasy Fair that is going to be coming up first weekend in August, and I'm going to be there, yes, and I'm going to be dressed like a queen. I just love it because I get to get into costume. Now, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, go to their website, and you will find all of the details about admission prices, etc. It's 3 weekends of great family fun. It's held at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. People come in from all over the country, and it is awesome. And the gates open at 10 a.m., and they close at 6. And if you'll go to their website, you'll find all kinds of special family deals. I'm going to be there. I will have my booth on Main Street. Look for the red lions with the golden background, and you'll be able to find me, and I'm going to be doing many consultations. I'll also have some books and tapes with me while I'm there. But this is an event. It's such a joy to participate in. The people are wonderful, and you know the craftsmen you see there doing metalwork. You have women that do all of this fine stitchery with gems and all kinds of things, and the special costumes and the hats and the trolls and the minstrels. Oh, it's just magical. It's a wonderful way to spend a weekend with the family, and take your friends, tell your neighbors, and come on out. Again, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Check out their website. Oh, and don't forget, fair is spelled F-A-I-R-E. Donna Sebo here, and I want to remind you, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Lisa Marcus. We're going to be talking about living the blessed life. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be discussing diet, food, recipes, the modern Ayurvedic with Ms. Sandy, and this is going to be fun. She's got some wonderful suggestions. Then we're going to be talking about a subject that's very controversial in the minds of many people. How about crop circles? Secrets in the field. We're going to be talking with Freddie Silva. And then on Friday, we're going to be discussing acupressure, under pressure, and do-it-yourself for natural health. This is really going to be interesting. There are so much coming out every day that crosses my path, and I get materials regarding people who are doing research. It is so exciting to me because more and more is becoming available to us as individual consumers. And so becoming educated, becoming aware makes such a difference. And after all, you have to take care of your health. If you don't, nobody else is going to do it for you. And why do you want to get to a point where you're so sick that you have to go to the hospital? That's not the way to do it. Well, we're almost out of time. Thank you so much for being with me today. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless you. Have a fabulous, fabulous day wherever you are. And we'll be back here, same time, same place, right here at the Donna Sebo Show. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
This is Bill Tiller of Tiller.org. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. Don't forget to tune in to The Infinite Consciousness with Eva Herr every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Enjoy.